How do you follow that? Fantastic. Instant drama. Emma's now going to read to us from the Old Testament some of the passages there about the birth of Jesus, and then Nick's going to share a few thoughts on Christmas with us.
More than 700 years before the birth of Jesus that we heard about in the reading earlier, the prophet Isaiah predicted the birth of the Son of God, a saviour for all humankind. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, the prophet tells of the miraculous birth. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7, the prophet describes the nature of this royal child to be born. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing it and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Well done, everybody. Well done, the children. Fantastic, colourful display. Giving a message in the New Life Christmas Carol service is always a challenge. I was reminded of when John Wesley was trying to preach somewhere and they released a bull into the meeting. Unfortunately, the bull turned around, injured the people that had sent the bull in and left the meeting unharmed. So we can expect anything to happen. I'd like you to come back with me this afternoon, 2,000 years into the hill country of Judea that Luke described in the story that we heard earlier from Gavin. To help you, I hope we can find some pictures. Oh, yes, I can. Am I allowed to see my own pictures here? Of shepherds, present-day shepherds, and they still watch over their flocks by night on the hills of Bethlehem. Here's how Luke told the story. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds, ordinary people doing ordinary jobs, doing the night shift, minding their own business, living in tents in the fields, in the cold, dark nights in northern Israel. In some ways, a Judean shepherd was less than ordinary. He was regarded as unclean by the religious people. He was often the youngest son that didn't get the inheritance. And because of the inconvenient lifestyle, as we can imagine, he often was unmarried as well. In fact, the shepherd represented the loner, the lonely, the outcast, the poor, the unsuccessful, the unholy. And yet, these were the ones that God chose to be the first to hear the good news that the long-awaited Messiah had come. And then an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn, "Come Thou Unexpected Jesus." There was something so unexpected about the birth of Jesus. Here was the long-awaited coming king, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, not born in a plush palace or a hospital maternity ward. It wasn't even a home birth. No, the everlasting Father was placed in a food trough in a stable where they had to stay because there was no room for them in the inn. And God wanted us to know something. He wanted us to know that Jesus came not for the posh, but for the poor, not for the self-sufficient, but for the broken, not for the self-righteous, but for sinners. And then Luke tells us the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. When God revealed himself in the Bible or angels suddenly appeared to people, the effect was always the same. People were completely and utterly terrified. Their terror was not just because of the unfamiliar or the unusual, but because of the incredible purity of God that made them feel a little bit unclean. But listen to the reassuring words of the angel. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. God's intention has never been to scare us away, but rather to find a way of bringing us back to him. And then the angel said, "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For today in the city of David there has been for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." This verse summarizes the entire Christian message. What some people call the gospel, which is another way of saying good news. This good news was so great that God appointed an angel to be his first preacher. This angel, a messenger from heaven, is the one that visited these shepherds. If we were to go out on the street today and ask people what they wanted most in life, I guess a great number of people would say happiness. I just want to be happy. It's a basic human need. This year, the government is spending £2 million on a happiness survey. But happiness is hard to find. And the people who have the most things in life are often the people who have least happiness. But the angel was bringing good news of not just joy, but great joy. And who was this happiness for? It was for you. It was for me. It was for us. It was for all the people. So what was the secret of this great joy, this great happiness? King David said this, "In your presence is fullness of joy." In God's presence, there is perfect joy. God has a joy that the Bible describes as inexpressible. When I was a teenager, I heard a Romanian pastor tell the story about how he had been tortured for his faith, and he had spent several years in solitary confinement. Just imagine that, all in a room by yourself with the food and the water put under the door, never seeing anybody. During his time in solitary confinement, he suffered severe tuberculosis. And yet he said this. He said, "Every night I danced for joy in my cell." We are talking about a quality of joy here that does not depend on life's circumstances. We're looking for happiness, but usually we are looking in all the wrong places. St. Augustine said this. He said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." The greatest joy is only found in a relationship with God. This has been my experience as well. And I remember talking to a male model who had spoiled his life with drugs. He said that he experienced such incredible happiness when he became a Christian that his first thought was, "If I could put this feeling in a pill, I would make millions." The secret of joy is walking with God. So what did they need in order to experience this great joy? In a word, they needed a Savior. The angel said, "For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." We might call a football player a Savior as he puts the ball in the back of the net in the last couple of minutes of a football game. Or maybe a Winston Churchill or a Nelson Mandela. But what was it that Jesus came to save us from? He came to save you and I from a greater evil that affects us in this life and in the next. The clue lies with another angel called Gabriel, who 9 months before this event visited Joseph in a dream and said, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The word Jesus is the same as the Hebrew word Yeshua. It means Joshua. It means Yah is salvation, Savior. You will bear a son, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. People don't talk much about sin these days, but it's something that we all experience. If you don't know what sin is, then it often becomes very obvious at Christmas time, especially when families meet up who at other times of the year never get together. Uncle George offends Auntie Mabel on Christmas Day by being rude about Cousin Kylie, who has never forgiven her brother Darren for always getting the best present. Mum is worked off her feet and blames her son David, who won't get out of bed to help. The toddler's in a temper because Uncle Brian drank too much brandy and trod on his toy. Dad loses his temper with Mum and upsets Nan, who refuses to speak to him. And Granddad goes home early because he's fed up with a lot of them. The thing about sin is that it separates. It separates people. It separates families. It separates nations. And it separates us from God and from the happiness that knowing God brings. The birth of Jesus was the beginning of the good news that God loved the world so much that he sent his son into the world to live a perfect life and die a painful death to take away the barrier of sin from mankind. An old hymn puts it this way: there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. The Bible says Christ died for sins, the good for the bad, so that he might bring us to God. He was born to die. This Christmas, let's go to the Savior to have our sins forgiven. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's give him control of our lives. The angel said, the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This is the only way that we will have a truly happy Christmas.
Thanks, Nick. Fantastic. Imagine holding in your arms a tiny newborn baby, the Son of God. And the first verse of our next carol talks about that drafty stable in Bethlehem where an exhausted young mother cradles in her arms the most special baby of all. Let's stand and sing.